No Bob. At least not yet. Maybe he's taking a nap or something.
Or he's running having late. One of those great big lunches that he always has.
They always make the hallway smell really good, too, especially when it's home-cooked food. But Bob will be here a little bit later. It's a speaking engagement, none of those things that we said before. Michael Fisher is here. And, of course, the voice you just heard was David Allen. What is up, David?
Nothing. What's going on with you, man? It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a lot of checking of the phone lately. Just because I feel like if I don't check my phone every hour at least, probably closer to 15 minutes, I'm going to miss something in the NBA.
You're like a 13-year-old girl.
I'm just looking for the text from my crush.
Trying to find a text or a tweet or something from your BFF.
Can't do it.
Let it go, man. Set it down and walk away.
I think the NBA's learned from the NFL that the off-season news cycle is just as important during the season.
Here's the thing, and this is not an original thought. The off-season on the NFL is more relevant than the regular season in the NFL. It's certainly more relevant. The offseason is more important and more interesting than the regular season in the NBA. And Major League Baseball is getting that way too, in the fact that the hot stove league and the trades and everything. So the off seasons have become more important in most major sports than the regular season is.
The only problem is the Major League Baseball offseason is during the NFL regular season. So that, it's always hard to get the kind of attention.
Yeah, sure.
When the NFL
buried.
Is just so all-encompassing, it really
buried.
Crushes everything that's in its way. That's why the NBA said, let's accelerate our offseason to make it start immediately after the end of the playoffs. That way the NFL isn't in our way, and we have like a continuous couple of months where at least we can be on the front sports pages of a lot of places.
Seriously, hasn't the last week been more interesting than the regular season? Not than
the playoffs
were terrible this year, too.
I'm the biggest NBA playoffs fan that there is, and I'd say that this offseason has been just as crazy, if not more. Now, I almost feel like it's taking a page, and you're the programming director of KBOI, it's taking a page out of the political news angle, to where like every time you check your phone, you're expecting something new, just like when you follow whether it's the political news scene or Donald Trump, it feels like everybody's attracted to CNN or Fox News or NBC or their Twitter page because they're not sure what is going to happen next in the White House. It feels like it's the same way around this draft season. You're not sure what's going to happen. I think Bill Simmons coined it the Tyson Zone, where you could have any story involving Mike Tyson and you would believe it. You'd have any story about Donald Trump or the White House, you'd believe it. You'd have any story about the NBA this time of year and you'd believe it.
Well, here's what they both have in common, I will tell you, is that everybody wants to be first rather than being right. You're a youngster. Fish there barely knows how to shave. You both are too young to remember back when news used to just be the 30 minutes that you got on NBC, ABC, or CBS at night. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's all that was happening in the world was that 30 minutes. Now everybody's rushing to get everything first. And that's why Walter Cronkite was the voice of a generation. You could believe everything he said. John Chancellor was the same way. Huntley Brinkley, you trusted those guys because they were telling you the truth, as I use air quotes. Now it's just like, hey, Donald Trump says, and Donald Trump's saying this, hey, better hope Comey doesn't have any tapes. Better hope those tapes don't come out. And that was 3 weeks ago, and everybody's talking about that. Now he comes out today. I never had any tapes. I don't know what to tell you. It's like, so that was a blatant lie. 3 weeks ago was a blatant lie. What are you doing? And everybody's the same way. Oh, Porzingis is on the trade block, which he is. Or, you know, Jimmy Butler's going to go here, or LeBron's going to leave after next year. They're talking about 2018 already, rather than waiting to be right. And part of that is that the athlete, like a LeBron situation, hasn't come out and said, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to re-sign in 2018 with Cleveland because it's my hometown, and I said it would come back.
Mm-hmm.
But he loves the fact, and I don't blame him, that people are going to go, in 2018, he's leaving, and Kyrie's leaving, and Kevin Love is leaving because the general manager got fired.
And part of it is, you know, the NBA is, while it is a team sport, it's almost an individual sport glorified
100%
as
agree.
A team game
yep.
because a lot of the attention is focused on the individuals. And right now in the White House, you have probably one of the most fascinating stories and people who is currently the United States president. So, like, while the NBA has nobody that's Donald Trump, the level of, like, his charisma and the level of his power.
Is Mark Cuban close?
No, because he doesn't check every single box that Donald Trump
I said checks. Close.
He's close. He might be one of
because
the...
Because he's as rich.
Yeah.
Tweets as much.
Fair.
Is just as ridiculous sometimes.
Yep.
and has really bad hair, too.
Okay, you completed the,
there we go.
The quartet. Woo! Of the Donald Trump experience. But I have a couple of more guys,
okay,
in the NBA who are in the news right now. And again, while each of them aren't Trump in itself, if you add them all up, maybe you're getting pretty close to what you get on the news cycle, which seems like every hour. Phil Jackson, he's known for right now his rash decisions.
Without a doubt, yes.
The Kristaps Porzingis, the latest of, okay, he's on the trade block, even though we drafted him 2 years ago, and it's really the only thing that he's done right in his tenure as a New York Knicks executive. But not only the fact that he's making rash decisions, what he is saying about them is unlike any other decision maker. You can go to like a college football coach. They never talk about their own players in the way. General managers, they never talk about their own players in a way that Phil Jackson, who said at the lottery media day, which are the draft media day that was yesterday, where he said, yeah, they're absolutely looking to move Porzingis if it can help the team. He said about Carmelo Anthony, basically every critical thing, he doesn't play defense and he's selfish about a guy on his own team.
Yeah. Yeah, that, you're exactly right. Donald Trump will rip everybody in the White House or everybody around him just as quickly as Phil Jackson will. And you've never heard that from somebody like that. And and you just sit and go, is he trying to get his... Is Phil Jackson trying to get fired? Is that, he, because then he walks away with his money.
Yep.
If he quits, then he doesn't get any of his money. But if Dolan goes, I'm sick of your crap, you're out. Go just make out the check to Phil Jackson, $24 million. Thank you very much and have a good day.
Now, you mentioned James Dolan. He also fits this because you know, something that makes covering news really fascinating right now is because the guy who's in charge seems unaffected by the chaos that's around him.
Yes.
James Dolan's the ultimate, like, unaffected by the chaos that's around him. He's going to continue to do what he's doing. It matters nothing that the Knicks are a complete train wreck around him, that the franchise seems to be burning down. It means nothing to James Dolan. So he checks another one of the boxes.
The former owner of the L.A. Clippers would have been the same way.
Yeah, Donald Sterling.
Donald Sterling. Is that, as all that stuff came out, he just continued to show up to the games, walk around with his girlfriend. He didn't even care. He was oblivious to the firestorm that, or the dumpster fire, however you want to do it, that was his team. And you're right, Dolan's the same way. He should have fired Phil Jackson a long time ago. He should have never signed Carmelo to that deal, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And yet he just keeps plugging along, wondering why nobody comes out to see the Knicks.
Idaho Sports Talk, Sports Radio, The Ticket, David Allen in for Bob Beeler. For now, Bob will be back in a little bit. Chris Lewis here. Dan Gilbert's the next box check because Dan Gilbert has the need to feel powerful, like the most important person in the building at all moments. That's why he's kind of going on a power trip to what will eventually cause LeBron James to leave the Cleveland Cavaliers. The first step, making sure that you know, David Griffin, their general manager, he's out of here. Lowball him with an offer that there's no way that he'd accept, so you get the GM out of there. So now you're the primary decision maker. You try to hire a GM in Chauncey Billups, who's never done this before, so you still have authority over him. And you run LeBron James out of town because you feel like you're more powerful than everybody else and you want to show it. So that's how Dan Gilbert checks one of the boxes.
And are we really surprised that Gilbert would do this? If you remember correctly, when LeBron first left, the petulant little letter that Gilbert posted, which made him sound like a fourth grader.
I already went on my Comic Sans rant earlier on this week. He wrote a letter this week in Comic Sans.
Did he really?
Yeah, about David Griffin leaving.
You might as well do something in Wingdings.
What is he using? Who? I can't understand that font either.
Exactly.
Comic Sans is just like, who takes anybody seriously?
Nobody.
Who writes their letters in Comic Sans?
But would you put most owners in that group, though, to where they have to feel? Because at the end of the day, they're thinking, well, I'm writing the checks. It's my name on everything. Mm. I do need to feel like the most important person in the room, no matter whether I have LeBron, Steph Curry, Durant, Kawhi, whomever I might have. Do you think owners have that Napoleon complex about them?
Daniel Snyder, I think, is another one who kind of
100%
fits
agree.
That one
yes.
Where he's like,
yes.
I need to make my imprint on everything that happens. Sometimes the best thing is just lay out and let the people who you pay to make decisions in the whatever, basketball, football, whatever field it is, and sometimes deferring is a very effective management style.
Those owners would rather make the wrong decision and have their name out there than let somebody else make the right decision and they don't get any publicity.
And speaking of a decision maker, Magic Johnson, I put him on the box because the Lakers are in the news for trying to acquire LeBron James in 2018. They made a couple of moves this week. He fits the Trump matrix in a way because he's inexperienced for his position, just like, you know, the Donald Trump inexperienced for being a president, but he has charisma. Magic Johnson has charisma and trying to sell that charisma as why he will be successful at this position. And he has a plan, I think, to get LeBron James. So that's why he checks the box. And last but not least, you got to put in my man Joel Embiid in this conversation because we basically encapsulated a lot of Trump's qualities, but we haven't gotten to the Twitter one yet because, you know, you never know what Trump's going to put on the Twitter feed. You never know what Joel Embiid is going to put on Twitter. He's the NBA Twitter king. So if you're talking crossing the news cycle of the NBA to the news cycle of the political news atmosphere, Joel Embiid gives you the Twitter updates.